Workers in Washington and Mountain View, St. Helena, California, November 30, 1909. To workers in Washington and Mountain View. Dear brethren, I am deeply impressed that we are allowing much time to pass by without decided efforts being put forth in all our cities. We must realize the magnitude and the importance of the work to be done. Let companies of workers be organized and instructed, that an earnest, solemn work may be carried forward without longer delay. I have been instructed to say to our brethren who are carrying responsibilities in Washington, there is a special work to be done right in that city. Be on your guard lest time and means be expended on things that are unessential. Physicians, editors, managers, now is your time to reveal that you are soundly converted. There is a work left undone that should be done for those right around you. God calls upon you to arouse and take up your neglected duties. If you will consecrate yourselves to Him, body, soul, and spirit, He will work through you to His name's glory. Our people are in constant danger of centering too many interests in one locality, but it is not in the Lord's order that this should be. Again and again, messages have been given concerning the dangers of such a course. In Washington and at Mountain View, our brethren should study diligently the warnings that have been given of the evil results of centering the publishing work and other interests too largely in one place. God is not pleased with the influence that results from such centralization. If all the men who gather thus in one place are wise, experienced men who walk humbly with God, then the world needs these men to stand as the Lord's representatives in many places. We are to seek the honor and glory of God in all things. We have been losing time in Washington and in Mountain View by centering so much in these places. At Washington, D.C., the headquarters of the work, the men of responsibility have special burdens to bear. Yet all who stand in positions of trust do not realize the sacredness of the work in which they are engaged. The heads of each family having workers in the various departments of our institutions must be consecrated, or the unconsecrated influence of the workers will lead to a deviation from righteousness. Unconsecrated workers will unwittingly mingle the common with the sacred, and will lose more and more their discernment of spiritual things. Only those who receive the seal of the living God will have the passport through the gates of the holy city. But there are many who take upon themselves responsibilities in connection with the work of God who are not wholehearted believers, and while they remain thus, cannot receive the seal of the living God. They trust in their own righteousness, which the Lord accounts as foolishness and presumption. The workers at Washington and Mountain View need a deep, earnest heart purification through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, or they will never enter the gates of the city of God. They need to realize their need of cleansing from everything like self-importance, or they will become confused in regard to the Lord's work that must go forth in all truth and righteousness. Many are self-exalted and are in danger of taking up with spiritualistic views that are misleading and that will, in the great day of God, be found valueless. Great light, such as Christ gave to the people, is to be given to you and by you to others. A transforming work will be done for you as you seek the Lord most earnestly for help and as you come before the people who have never heard the last message of mercy. Let not those who have made a profession of conversion be found following in ways that will lead them to stand with unbelievers. All the publications advocating the truth for this time will not save your own souls while the motives that lead to action are not right in the sight of God. Do you love God supremely? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? These are the practical questions to be earnestly considered. I quote from early writings, from an article written May 14, 1851. I saw that many do not realize what they must be in order to live in the sight of the Lord without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus fully. In the centers that are formed in some places, there is constant temptation to carry the work after worldly methods. I have had presented before me the dangers before us in the future. This light I have tried to present with pen and with voice. Let the work be carried forward intelligently by men and women of sound faith and strict religious principle.
There is need of greater faith in our ranks. Our people in Washington and in Mountain View are not in the state spiritually that God requires of them, and they are not doing the work that is demanded for this time. Some realize in a measure the times in which we live, but only a few seem to be fully awake to the situation. There is a work outside of their regular daily business that should be done. The simplicity of true godliness is not maintained. There needs to be an expression of greater humility. Matthew, in the 5th chapter, presents before us the work that should be maintained in every place where our offices are established. When the truths presented by Christ in this chapter are understood and practiced, you will be partakers with Christ of his labors and of its rewards. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Savior said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verses 3 to 16. Connected with every center of influence in our work, there should be that spiritual experience that is the mark of the Holy Spirit's guidance. For unless the workers consider where they are drifting, they will lose their burden for the work for which these centers are established. They are to labor under the supervision of holy angels. The sacredness of truth is to be preserved in all its holy dignity and power. The characteristics specified by Christ are to be revealed in our work as the mark of Christian service. Let the perception be keen to see the working of the Spirit of God upon the human heart. When weighed in the balances of the heavenly sanctuary, ambition and the desire to supersede will not weigh as divine acquirements. We need to experience daily a reconversion. If you have taken advantage in your business dealings, which the Lord calls injustice, this must be adjusted before you can be honest and righteous in the sight of God. These things need to be corrected by our people everywhere, but especially in the lives of those who stand as representatives of the Lord's work in the earth. When you take up this work of readjustment and getting right with God, angels of heaven will cooperate with you, giving you discernment to see where you have viewed matters in a wrong light. Christ and angels are looking upon your work. They are measuring every action. Let your life represent the meek and lowly Jesus. Strive to do as Christ would do were he in your place. Let there be no disagreement between your measurement of strict integrity and the divine measure. True, pure principles must govern the life of every soul that shall be pronounced just and righteous in the day of God. There are many transactions in the business world that the worldling regards as just and honest, but which God condemns. Men lay plans which they regard as right plans, but which do not accord with the true, unselfish principles that Christ has laid down in his word. And this conformity to the world's standard is becoming more and more to be accepted by professing Christians. But the approval of the world will never make an unjust action just, and wrong will stand as wrong before the heavenly universe until it is repented of and put away. The Lord cannot bless the men who corrupt themselves by unjust business dealings, either with their brethren or with worldlings. And those who do such things lose their spirituality. They grow cold and formal and selfish. They gloss over their past mistakes by theories of their own invention that are opposed to the principles of the Word of God.
The principle which should characterize every business dealing is clearly laid down by Christ. All things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verse 12 to 14. The message to the Laodicean church is a message to the church at this time. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. Just as surely as individual work is thoroughly done in the hearts of the believers, there will be individual work done in reaching unbelievers with the message of truth for this time. The folly, the evil surmising, the uplifting of self, which destroy the fervent zeal of the soul, will be put away, and the true believers will be humble of heart and earnest in their labors for the perishing souls.